Welcome to the Up to the Challenge podcast.
Hey, hey, what's up? This is Isu back again, and this is Easy Society Presents Up to the Challenge. On this pod, we challenge each other to watch something, movie, TV show, documentary, or whatever, as long as it's streaming or available. Then we'll discuss what we thought and present the next challenge. This is episode 12. Today we'll be talking about Irreversible and 112263. But before I go any further, he's up to the challenge. It's the Nez!
Yo, what's up, everybody? Welcome to the show. Oh, man. This is a long challenge for me. all right, man. Ain't nothing else to do but to get into this. I'll kick it off. Zisu challenged me here to Hulu's original miniseries 112263. A high school teacher travels back in time to prevent John F. Kennedy's assassination. Stars James Franco, Sarah Gadon, George McKay, Chris Cooper, and a Daniel Weber who plays Lee Harvey Oswald. There was 8 episodes total. I went through the whole thing. Zisu just said, just
wow,
get through one, and one wasn't enough. I had to see how it ended. So I would just zip through the whole, mini series. This came out, 2 years ago in 2016. For some reason, I thought it came out last year. It was a long show. I mean, it wasn't like action packed, but it was really interesting. James Franco, his character is Jake Epping. He is a friend of Chris Cooper. His friend is Al Templeton. Al owns a diner, and it has a mysterious, I think it was like a closet. It was basically a time portal. That goes back to 1960 they were in Maine somewhere. I can't remember where. Al tells James Franco's character, hey, man, I want you to step into this room and just see something. And he's like, all right, what am I doing? So he walks into this dark, it's kind of like a hallway. And the next thing you know, he kind of just falls down and he's, in 1960 in Maine, and he's like looking around, he's not sure what's going on. There's people walking around going to work, the old school 60s music is playing, and he is just like, what the hell is going on? And then there's this mysterious character that comes walking up and says, you shouldn't be here. And then James Franco kind of backs up, and when we get to 1960, the time portal is like not there. There's nothing there. So it's just like kind of, I guess if you walk into this little area, it'll take you back to the present, which was 2016. So he steps backwards and he's back in 2016. And then this is when Al explains to him what's going on. There was never really an explanation of why that time portal was there. And why it only goes to 1960, but it was interesting. And the whole premise of the show was Al wanted Jake to go back to 1963 to prevent John F. Kennedy's assassination. Al had all this stuff laid out. He had been there for, I assume, 3 years to plot of how to stop the assassination. Al couldn't do it himself. I'm going to spoil this because it's kind of hard for me to talk about it.
There's no way not to.
Yeah. So he's telling him to, you have to do this. I can't do it, because when Al went in there, when you go into the portal, however long you're in there, you could be in there for years, but you're only gone from the present time for 2 minutes. Because Jake was talking to a friend of his in the diner, and Al went into the portal. 2 minutes later, he comes back, and he's all old and beat up, and all of a sudden he has cancer. And then Jake is like, what the hell's going on? You were only gone for like a couple of minutes. Because I was gone for, I don't know, 3 years or however long. And he was like, what? And he goes, and Al was like, I don't have the strength to go stop the assassination, so you need to go do it. So he laid out this whole plan, gave him all these notes and paperwork and a map of the area in Dallas where Kennedy was assassinated. So Jake is supposed to go back into 1960, and then he's like, so what, I'm supposed to hang out here for 3 years? He goes, it's going to take you that long to figure out what's going on what you're going to do to prevent the assassination. So from here on, I mean, it time jumps a lot because this is only 8 episodes. It's not going to give you 3 years of what he's going to do. But he basically kind of just gets into 1960, finds a place to live. At one point, he realizes that he can't. He just figures, I can't do this. There's no way. So he was ready to go back to the present. But then he had realized in 2016, Jake is a teacher. And he has, I think it was an English class at night for grownups. And there was this guy that was telling him a story about the night his mother and his brothers and sisters were murdered by their father. And it was just really tragic on him. And it told him that he gave him the exact date and where they lived. So Jake was like, I need to do something. I can't just leave this time and not have anything.
Right.
So he basically goes back and tries to stop that guy's father, preventing his father from killing his mother and the rest of his family. So, and that deranged father was Josh Duhamel. He plays Frank Dunning.
Yeah.
So they were just trying to fill up time before we actually got to the assassination stuff. And then once that's kind of dealt with, he starts to, all right, I really need to do this. Now he gets a partner, and he's trying to stop the assassination. His partner was actually, he's played by George McKay. His name is Bill Turcotte. He kind of falls into it and then tells this guy, look, I'm from the future and this is what I'm supposed to do. So Bill is trying to help him along the way to prevent the assassination. A lot of stuff goes on into the show, but to go forward to the end when we actually get to the assassination. Jake, James Franco's character, he has to figure out where Lee Harvey's going to be. Well, Al, the diner owner, he did explain, okay, this is where he's going to be. He's a defector to Russia. Then he's coming back into America on this date. And then you have to basically just stick to him until it leads up to the day. 11/22/63 was the day of the assassination. So James Franco and his little partner are just doing everything they can do to try to prevent it. They even go as far as bugging the guys, Lee Harvey Oswald's house, following him around, just trying to get into his family life. And it was an interesting story. I mean, I liked what was done here. Stephen King wrote the story, and I like what he's doing, especially with Stephen King. His realm is all his stories are tied together. You could tie It and The Shining and
right.
Maximum Overdrive, yep, to everything he has done. Christine, there was a lot of Easter eggs in this series. I mean, you even see the actual Christine car.
Yep.
At one point, for a few scenes. I know there was a couple of the drugstore. I think one of the drugstores was from It. There was a milkman. I can't remember which story that one was from. There's a mention of Castle Rock. There was some other things in this. I want to say some characters were mentioned too, but Stephen King, whoever made this, they did do their homework, and I'm sure Stephen King was on board with it all. So they were throwing in all these little things. So that was cool to catch. I mean, I caught a lot of them. I'm sure there was a ton more, but all the ones that I knew. I mean, Christine was the most obvious one because the guy was driving around in the car, and you could not miss that. But
right.
I liked what was going on. My only problem with the show was the ending. It just kind of just fell apart. Other than the assassination part, but it just kind of just. All right, man, you gave me 7 episodes of awesomeness, and then you get to the final episode, and it was kind of just eh. But I mean, it ended good, but I wasn't what I wanted the ending to be.
Right.
I won't spoil the very ending because I was just like, okay, whatever. But to the assassination part, I liked what they did there. Spoiler alert, like I said, I'm going to spoil this. He prevented the assassination. But Al was telling him, and there's a lot of flashbacks when Al is talking to him. He's telling him, look, man, once you do this, there's going to be a lot of changes to the present time. So just kind of be ready for that. So when he prevents the assassination and his love interest, she ends up getting killed. And he's just like, pretty much, all right, I'm going to go back to my time. I have nothing else to do here. I did what I was supposed to do. And it's kind of like a Back to the Future type of deal. Like, he prevented something in the past, and then when he comes back to 2016, it's like when Biff took over.
Exactly.
Everything was different. Exactly. And he was like, what the fuck is going on? He didn't know what was happening. It was like there was some kind of war or something, because everything that was around him was pretty much demolished, and there was homeless people everywhere. He was like, what's going on here? And he actually runs into the older gentleman that told him the story about his father killing his mother and his family.
Yeah.
And then he's like, he's looking at him, and he starts talking to him, and he's like, he goes, you look exactly like how I remember you. And James Franco's like, what are you talking about? And he goes, I still remember you. You're the one that saved us from my father. And then he kind of starts, all right. So he's like, yeah, that was me. And then he starts telling him of what happened. And he's like, well, what happened? So since Kennedy was alive, he prevented the assassination. I guess Kennedy wasn't the good guy that we all thought. And just,
well, no, I think other things happened because of it. Like, he could have been good and done good stuff, but it was like other things actually didn't happen. So it's just, it unorders it. The most interesting thing I found was that idea that the past fights back. Like, it kept trying to stop him. Like, things would happen. Like, the early on, the fire in the room, like, burns his notes. Like, the future doesn't want to be changed. And Chris Cooper even tells him that. And you keep seeing that happen. Like, the past keeps messing with him. Like, there's that one scene with trying to confirm Lee Harvey Oswald. And, like, they keep getting pulled away, so they can't confirm that it's him.
And that's why Chris Cooper's character got cancer. I mean, that was the past trying to stop him. So that's why he couldn't continue his mission, because he got all sick. But I mean, right. Kennedy was one of the reasons of why the downfall, because I guess some of the stuff he had done was the lead up to all the chaos after him. So
right.
What I got was that Kennedy is the one that started the bad stuff that just kept going and going into where I assume there was a war or something, and everything was demolished. It was kind of like Mad Max or the Road Warrior realm, where everything was just all hell and hell on earth and everything. So, I mean, that's what I liked about this story, man. It was like, wow. I mean, yeah. What if you were to go back and to prevent something major like that, to where, I mean, everyone loved Kennedy, but then just because you saved him, all this bad stuff happens and everything. I mean, that's what I like about
unintended
Stephen King's stories. I mean, it was a good story. I just didn't like the ending of this whole series. I was kind of like, okay.
Right.
But overall, this was a good series. I know I just spoiled the hell out of it for you, but, if it does sound interesting, it's 8 episodes. They're all like 50 minutes long. I know the very first episode was like an actual movie. It was like an hour and 20 minutes. But
yeah,
that's what got me hooked into this. Like, damn it, now I need to see where this is going. So I just kind of just zipped through the rest of the whole series. But I mean, overall, it was good. I don't know if I'd watch it again. Maybe if it was on TV or something, and I'd probably sit there and watch it. Maybe I'll catch some more of the little Easter eggs that they put in this. But man, overall, yep. Man, James Franco, he's an amazing actor. I like pretty much everything he's in. Yeah, he's also one of those guys that are falling into the little problems that Hollywood's going through right now. But this is a good series, man. I mean, there's a lot of good actors in this. I love all the old 60s stuff that they had. I mean, especially when you make these type of films or TV shows, all the whatever studio they use, man, they have all these cars from the 60s and the wardrobe and everything. I liked everything in this. The cinematography, wherever they filmed, I have no idea where they filmed this, but having all these old houses there and just the stuff they put in there, all the props and everything. But yeah, this is an awesome show, streaming on Hulu. So if I sold it well enough to you guys check it out. It was pretty good. I just wasn't feeling the ending, but overall, right, I really did enjoy the whole series.
Awesome. Yeah, one last thing I wanted to add on top of that. I sent you right before you started watching it. Jade was really excited when she watched this, and she went out and picked up the book. The book is crazy thick. What is it, like 500 pages? Like 700 pages. The interesting thing about it, though, is it comes with like music recommendations. A lot of the music you hear on the show that they use, the throwback late 50s, early 60s music. And it actually even has like recipes of like food and like of the time. So yeah, if you like the show, you might want to also actually check out the book too, just for those cool little bonuses that Stephen King put in there.
A friend of mine, he read the book first, and he's seen the show. He hated the show because he said they left so much out of it. So,
right.
But he's a book reader.
And, sure. And
he,
sure.
Everything that they've made into TV shows or movies, he's read the books, and I can understand that. I mean, reading the few books that I did read, they can't compare to what they've done. But there right. has been some awesome films. But this show was awesome, man. I mean, I am just going to promote it that, yeah, you guys check it out, man. It's worth watching. Yeah, I spoiled the whole thing for you, but it was kind of hard not to talk about it without exactly. spoiling it. But
yeah,
this is an awesome 11/22/63 streaming on Hulu. Yeah, check it out, everybody.
Right. And like Ness said, it was hard to talk about it. And at the same time, it's history. There's so much that we didn't speak on that happens in the show that it's worth watching, even knowing certain things like we just talked about. But yeah. All right. Ready to jump on to my challenge?
Yep.
All right, the Nez challenged me to 2002's Irreversible. I'm going to try to dance around speaking about this at the start as much as I can because it's almost, this is another one that's basically impossible to talk about without spoiling it just by the nature of the film. But yeah, this one stars Monica Bellucci, Vincent Castle, he played the Night Fox in the Ocean series. Albert Dupontel, Joe Prestigia. It was directed by Gaspar Noé, French film. Interestingly, after watching it and then digging in a little bit into the IMDb, I found this film was actually famous for having a bunch of people walk out of it at the Cannes Film Festival. And that happens all the time, but I guess it was like a big deal for this. And while some critics may have felt that way, it just that fact that happened seems to have turned like just normal viewers, like people that write in the the user reviews, it made them want to see it and stick through it the whole thing all the much more, the fact that other people locked out on it. So, yeah, like I said, this one's really hard to talk about without spoiling it. It's even set right in the little synopsis. We'll get into that. But, yeah, just so you know, this is streaming on Amazon. If that tiny bit of teaser, which is nothing, you know, intrigues you, you might want to check it out and then come back, because, like I said, no way to talk about it without spoiling it. So here we go. Events over the course of one traumatic night in Paris unfold in reverse chronological order as the beautiful Alex is brutally raped and beaten by a stranger in the underpass. Oh, yeah. This was a rough challenge. This was tough to get through. And I got to say, right off the bat, it made it tough, too. For a second there, Nez, I was like, how did you watch this and you didn't watch Hardcore Henry? Because I couldn't finish Hardcore Henry either. But the start of this movie, the camera's flying all over the place. And it's like, oh, man, it almost makes you sick. The music, it's crazy, and the camera's moving. You stick with it, you know, it straightens out. But it's because it ends, or it starts with this brutal act, and you're left to wonder, like, what provoked this? And then as we move through the story, you find out why. The rape scene is, especially brutal, and I wouldn't know what to compare this to, but yeah, it's like you see the reviews and people say that it's the longest, most sustained ever put on film. So yeah, pretty brutal, pretty rough to handle, but you continue to move through it, and it just sets up in reverse. And I also seen a lot of people refer to it's like this, like you end up in hell. Well, what was the road to that? And that's what you're unpiecing step by step. So we can dig a little bit more into it, but the question I have for you, Nez, you didn't see this in theaters, right?
No, this was one of the movies when I was on my disturbing movie kick. I found a list and just went down the list, and this was one of them. There was another movie that I wanted you to check out, but I can't find it anywhere. But yeah, so I was like, okay. I mean, I wasn't reading into them. I was just going down the list, and I was finding them everywhere. I know there was some on Netflix, and then other means there were out there, but I think I found this. I think it was on Netflix for a little while. So I was like, all right, cool. So I watched it and I was like, whoa. I mean, I like these foreign films. I like Monica. What the hell's her last
name? Bellucci.
I like her. I liked her since Matrix, the second one. And I've seen her in, I think it was Shoot 'Em Up and a bunch of other films.
Yep.
So I was like, all right, I'm going to check it out. I had no idea why it was on the disturbing movie list. So, but yeah, when you get to that scene where it just went on and on and on, and I was like, oh, my God. I mean,
pretty rough
for the actors to go through this. I mean, we know it's not real, but just the whole act of it and thinking about it. And this does go on. This isn't just something that Hollywood made up. I mean, this happens, and it's sad that it does, but yeah, I mean, I just like what it did, and I had no idea the movie was going to go backwards and all this, because I was like, wait, yeah, what's going on? But then once the movie was said and over with, I was like, wow, man, that was a good movie. I liked it. I mean, other than the brutalness of it, but I liked what was going on in this film. Have you even heard of this before I brought it to your attention?
If I'm remembering right, it came out 2002. I think I do remember hearing about, you hear about it every once in a while, mass walkouts of this film and stuff like that. And that sometimes does intrigue you. You're like, whoa, what could it be? You know, like, that made people do that. So there definitely is a curiosity factor. The other question I have for you is, how'd you make it past that intro? I know you got the same thing with me, with the whole first-person shooter, hardcore Henry thing. That starting was like, whoa, man.
Well, I knew the whole movie wasn't going to be that way, so I'm just, I was just kind of like, if once it kind of bugged me, I just would look away and then look back, and then once it straightened up, it was good the rest of the way. But
right,
yeah, but I mean, but overall, man, I loved this film. I don't own it, but it was just something that kind of stuck with me. Like, wow, man, this was like a powerful film and performances. So I was like, all right, man. I mean, this is something. I'm sure if I would have heard it from you, all seeing this, so it was something to say, you know what? I'm gonna give this a shot. I mean, because I want to challenge you with movies that I know I've said this before that you wouldn't watch and wouldn't have heard of. I've all the movies so far up to this point. Have you heard of them?
A few of them, but just, you know, never dug into them. I had heard of Witch and Babadook. There's a few I hadn't heard of, and I was pleasantly surprised by. Loved Maria Full of Grace, and Class of 84 was incredible. I have no idea how I hadn't heard of that one. So, but yeah, I heard a few, but definitely not all of them.
So can you recommend this for the more tougher audience? Because I know I like Zizou said, people did walk out of this.
Yes.
I can sit, even if I had seen this in theater, I could sit through it. Yes, the brutality of it all with dealing with rape, but it's a movie, and I know the whole movie, the whole hour and 37 minutes, is it going to be this? But that scene did go on and on and on. So, but I was able to get through it and just take it from there on for what it was with the rest of the movie. But like I said, I really enjoyed this film, other than that hard to watch scene, but you get through it and then you see the rest. But I would recommend this to everyone if we're selling it good enough for you. We really didn't go into the whole story of what happens in it, because I think this is something that if you guys do want to see it, it's kind of hard to explain telling the story backwards.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, you hit on the big points, and the big points is right there in the synopsis. So they're actually not even hiding that, the fact that is going to happen and will happen. So, yeah, it's just like where it ends. Yeah, it's like, I don't know, it's weird to know that happens, but then you get the truly chronological end at the beginning, like what it led to, so. But in the end, you know, there's also, you know, I read some people that really tried to defend this as a, you know, high art, high cinema, and the filmmakers, you know, on another level, French film and whatnot. So, you know,
yeah, I don't know about high art, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, as far as like, oh, you know, the filmmaker is showing us something, you know, you wouldn't dare normally put on film and whatnot, and, you know, presenting it in this artistic way, especially, you know, the ending is the beginning, and I don't know, that the ending felt so art film to me. The I guess you could call it almost like flicker out. That felt like an art show to me.
Yeah, I mean, with this whole subject matter of the film that's the I don't want to say a selling point, but like the main topic of discussion when you talk about this film. There has been other films with brutal rape scenes. I mean, you can go like Last House on the Left, I Spit on Your Grave, those type of films. Both of those films I just mentioned, they were originals, and then there was remakes of both of them. I would give you one of those movies, but I don't think any of those are available anywhere. I would give you the remakes because the original ones are just like to me were boring and overhyped to me, and I was disappointed with both of them. But yeah, I mean, if you don't got anything else to say.
Yeah, just that, you know, warning, it's a tougher watch, but it's out there on Amazon if you want to give it a try. And like we just talked about, the intro is wild, wild moving camera, but the whole movie isn't like that. So if it's something, you know, you're curious about, you know, check it out. And yeah, the camera does eventually stabilize. So, yes.
All righty, ladies and gentlemen. On to the next challenge. I am going to challenge the Zisu with a film. Have you seen Raw?
Eddie Murphy?
No.
which one is that?
I can't tell you, man. Just it's a movie that came out in 2016. It's another foreign film.
No.
All right. Well, that's my challenge.
Okay.
Everyone, I know this is a film that came out 2 years ago, and it was one of those ones that everyone was talking about. So, yeah, I won't go any more with it. If you guys have seen it, you guys know, but this is 2016's Raw. It's streaming on Netflix.
Okay, let me write that down. Netflix, Raw. Okay, got it. I've been doing a lot of series for you.
That's what I was about to say. That's what I was about to say. No more TV series for a while.
Well, I have a few more on the list, but I'm going to try to go movie at least for this one and the next few. I'm going to try, unless you've seen these. Have you seen Lost City of Z?
Yes, I have. I saw it after you talked about it on the regular show.
Okay. How about Chef?
John Favreau? Yes, I've seen that.
Okay, 0 for 2. How about Star Trek Beyond?
I know
we talked about it a lot, and you said you hadn't seen it.
I have not seen it. I have it on Blu-ray.
There you go.
I've never watched it, so perfect.
It's also streaming on Amazon for anybody that wants to also watch it alongside the Nez. So,
It'll be easier to dig it out and enjoy it in my easy chair.
Instead
of sitting at work watching it on my phone.
Right. Yeah, I'm going to have to reload the list there because you just knocked out 3.
All right. Star Trek Beyond. When I don't even remember when that came out. It was a while ago. A
couple years ago.
Yeah. And that's for me and Raw for the Zisu here. Not Eddie Murphy's Raw, which is an amazing stand-up. I wish Eddie Murphy would just... I think he could do it. Do stand up. Just do an hour special. He's been on some things and he has done a little bit of stand up, but only for like a few minutes. And I think he can do it. I know a lot of diehard fans would like to see him do it again. So that's another show.
Yep, definitely.
Yeah. So Raw and Star Trek Beyond for episode
13. Yikes!
Wow, yeah, this has been fast already.
All right,
everybody, man, thank you so much for listening, and we will be back next week with 2 more challenges. So until then, party on!
Yep, have a good one. Be safe. Have fun. Till the next time, up to the challenge.